Said, what's going on, everybody? It's that ordinary podcaster with the extraordinary thoughts that tells you to stop being great and be extraordinary. I'm Demetrius Thigpen, also known as Meech Speaks, and welcome back to another episode of Talking Crazy. So, with that being said, you know what I'm saying? How I knew that I was like really like starting to blow up or start to pop off is so I have been following this person on Instagram for a minute. And I remember when I first saw her, like she was deadlifting. And then I went to her page and she had hair. Then she shaved it all off. And I was like, okay, all right, I hear that. G.I. Jane. You know what I mean? Like, I get it. And when she followed me back, I did one of those silent, like, yes. Because I knew that I was starting to get places when she followed me. Because I was like, oh my God, I know who that person is. So with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, with no further ado, let's go ahead and welcome Abby Rose to the show. How you doing today?
Dude, I'm doing so good. And that was such a, wow, such a great opening. Never had anybody say any nice things like that before. So super, super grateful of that. And yeah, I'm excited that I started following you back and I love everything you do. So super stoked to be here.
Oh man, I really appreciate that. And what's so crazy about that is one, I'm really known for good openings. Like when I have a guest on the show, I want to get a guest some shit as if they about to walk out to. You know what I mean? Like if I was
like a red carpet.
Yes. You know what I mean? I really want to welcome them on, you know? So that always comes from the heart and it's never scripted. It's always exactly how I feel about it. Now be advised, I have given some, all right, you know, I don't know who the hell this person is, but you know, he does this, that. So go ahead, ladies and gentlemen, welcome so-and-so or Dr. So-and-so to the show. And that was in like my early stages, but I think I've gotten a little bit better though.
Yeah, you're doing great. Love it.
So Abby, you know, how's your new year? Happy new year.
Yeah, happy new year. It's like, it's here already. I mean, I live in Texas, so there was hardly any winter at all. So it's like, doesn't even feel like we went from one year to another because there was no seasonal change.
Really?
But yeah, it just stayed warm. I'm like, this is great. I love it. Yeah, global warming. But yeah, we're dying. We're all dying. But it's cool. It's cool.
You know,
we're
you
at
know
least warm while we're dying.
You know what's so crazy is that somebody brought that up. They were like, have y'all noticed that it's, you know, December and it hasn't even snowed? And I was just like, I don't care. But then they were like, it's global warming. And I was like, God, man, I hope. I honestly, look, I get it. Global warming is happening. I'm hoping that it happens when I'm an old man. All right. Like, so that's not my problem. You know what I mean?
I think we have some time.
You see what I'm saying? Like, that I hope that's my kids, thinking, grandkids but problem. You know what I mean? I'm hoping that it's not. What's that movie called? Was it The Day After Tomorrow?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. We're so fucked if that happens. We're so
fucked. I know. Have you seen that other movie that just came out with Julia Roberts? That one's, I feel like, more likely to happen in our time.
Really? Anything's... I have not.
Oh, you
gotta
see it.
Is it Bird Box?
No. It's called, Leave the World Behind or something
like
that.
Leave the World Behind. I'm gonna look that one up. Leave the World
It's a big controversial movie right now because it really could actually happen in some way. Oh. It's a cyber attack. Do you want me to tell you one of the parts that happened?
Yeah.
Are
go
you
ahead.
Like a? Do you get spoiled?
No.
Okay. I don't want to ruin it for you, but basically, the cyber attackers, whoever they are, whatever country, they get all the Teslas to drive out of the dealership and block all the main roads. So you just see a line of white Teslas that are all crashed into each other, and they're all blocking the main road, so nobody can get in and out of where they're supposed to go. I was like, that? I can definitely see that happening.
So it's going to be like iRobot.
It's kind of like iRobot vibes, yeah.
You know what? Definitely. I honestly can see that actually happening. I'm not even about to lie. I can actually see that happening. Just because of how technological we're like dependent on. You know what I mean? I hope that's the right word. But we're so dependent on technology that I could honestly see that happening.
Yes, it is. I'm a low key conspiracy theorist.
Really?
So yeah. I'm like very, it's kind of funny. I was in the military and I'm pretty anti-government And my mindset has just shifted so much. So, but we don't need to get into all that. But I'm low key. Yeah, I'm following all those conspiracy theories, and I mean, a lot of them have some undoubtable truths to them.
So I've read some, but I try not to stress myself out because yeah. I'm one of them type of people. If I get a cold, I'm gonna Google it, and now I'm depressed.
Yeah, you know don't get into it. I don't recommend it. Ignorance is bliss. Just stay peaceful and happy.
100%. Now, speaking of peaceful and happy, 2024. Did you have any goals this year?
Yeah. I just actually wrote down all my goals, and like I actually kind of use Instagram as journaling. I'm not really as much as like trying to get views and likes anymore. I'm more just kind of use it for like for me to reflect on and like look at my past. If it takes off, great. But if not, whatever. It doesn't affect me either way. But I wrote down that I want to be less attached. So I actually don't wear any makeup anymore.
Really?
Yeah, I actually gave up makeup at the end of 2023. Because I left my makeup bag at someone's house and she lived like an hour and a half away. So I had to go with no makeup. And I started getting used to myself in the mirror. And I'm like, you know what? Because when you first go no makeup, it's like, oh shit. Mm-hmm. Oh my God. Who the fuck is that?
Who is
like,
this person?
You're ugly as fuck. Like you have so many negative thoughts. You're like, what the fuck? You just roll out of bed. You look tired as hell. But then it's because your eyes haven't adjusted to how you look. Without makeup and like without the filters that we all use and all the girls use and stuff. So yeah, no filters, no makeup, just me. That's one of my goals, I guess, is just to continue to stay naturally me and be happy with who I am naturally. Really?
Now, do you think like, since you've like picked that goal up, like, do you feel like it's made you like love yourself more? Like as far as like seeing yourself in the mirror and everything like that?
Yes. Yeah, I definitely think. And it just made me save so much time. Oh my God. I was like, I used to spend at least 30 minutes to an hour getting ready. It's kind of stressful.
Is it really like 30 minutes though?
Yeah, I was pretty fast. So I could get it into 15, but I'm also ADD. So then I'd be starting doing it and I'll be like, doing something else, cleaning. And then it could go up to 2 hours if I was like not really focused. And so I'm like, God damn, like this is hanging out a lot of times. So now I just roll out of bed. I used to have hair extensions.
Yeah.
And I used to get my fake nails done too. I don't get my nails done anymore. So that saves time and money. And I don't have hair extensions. I just roll out of bed and my hair is good to go. Just like this. Just exactly how it is. So it's a big game changer. I really try to convince other women now. I'm like, I think women should do whatever makes them happy. Like if makeup and all that makes them happy, then keep doing it, obviously. But like, I do tell them like, maybe just try a day without it just and see what you think. Because I used to think I would never be confident with just how I am. But I'm like super confident how I am now.
You know, and this is so weird because like one thing that I try not to ever do is like tell like, you know, say like, hey, you shouldn't wear makeup or you shouldn't wear makeup because one, I'm a man, and two, I don't wear makeup, but I've seen so many people like do that where they stop wearing makeup and they have grown to appreciate themselves more, just like as if it, like just like what you said, because your eyes haven't gotten used to seeing yourself like without makeup or for a consistent period of time. So that's very interesting to see. I'm happy for you.
Thank you. Yeah, it's definitely a game changer.
You know, I think one of my goals for this year, and it was actually one that I actually just recently picked up, and it's to be more human. And I've noticed throughout all of 2023, I felt like I was always just on the go. You know what I mean? Like everything was done with a purpose, but never for the experience, if that makes sense. Like I'm doing, I'm talking for this purpose. I'm going to this place for this purpose, not to sightsee, but I'm there for a purpose, or I'm posting just for a purpose. So I promised myself coming into this year that I will allow myself to be more human and just enjoy experiences, enjoy life's pleasures, enjoy the people that are around me without wanting something from them. So that's something that I've really been diving deep into.
I love that. I just had a conversation with my good friend, and her goal was to just love people where they're at. And that kind of has to go hand in hand with just being human And then also just accepting humans for humans and like not having any judgment on anybody, just loving them where they're at in their life. You know, they could be in a time period, or you could be in a time period where things aren't going well, or you're doing shitty things, or you're being a shitty human. And then, you know, a couple of months later, you can start doing self-development and then you're a little bit a better person. So it's just meeting and loving every person where they're at and just accepting humanness, which is great. Absolutely. I love that.
I actually love that. You know what I mean?
Like, I know. I was like, That's a good one.
That's a good one. You know what I mean? Like, love people where they're at. Like, I like that. All right. Like, I'm definitely, if you see me post something about that, hey, just act like I never even.
No, I never told you nothing.
You know what I mean? But speaking of, you know, once again, thank you for being on the show. But I would love to learn just a little bit about you, because I remember the conversation we had and you told me that you were a flight attendant. And that was just one of the many things that you have done.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I feel like I've lived like 100 lives. I mean, I've moved over 30 times in my life. I've met probably like, I would say like a million people. Like, it's crazy how many people I've met and have relationships with in my life, just from moving so much. And then I was a barista was my very first job,
right?
Which kind of helped me out later in the road when I started my nonprofit, which was a coffee shop nonprofit.
Wait, like at Starbucks?
No, I was a barista. So in Seattle, Washington, it's kind of like little small mom and pop coffee shops versus Starbucks. It's like a battle.
Okay,
like,
I hear that.
Like, the mom and pop servers are like, fuck you, Starbucks, because Starbucks just takes over everything.
Damn right
so
they do.
So people either go to Starbucks or they go to mom and pop shops.
Mm.
So I worked at a mom and pop shop.
I'm more of a Dutch Bros type of person. I just really want to just throw that. Oh, okay.
Yeah,
I hear
so
that.
Kind of like that. Like that, that kind of vibe. That's where it's called Kelly's Lattes. It's a big coffee shop in Seattle. Well, it's in like a little suburb of Seattle, but it was dope. Like, they have good ass coffee.
Right.
They have everything. It was awesome. They trained me so well. It was really good first job for me. And that taught me like all my entrepreneurship, like skills as far as how to run a coffee shop. And then I was fucking killing it. I got hired on at this tanning salon. I'm working at the coffee shop and tanning salon and going to the school. And I've always been a hustler. Like, that's one thing about me. I have a very high work ethic and I love to work hard. Kind of so hard that I burn myself out, but hey, that's just how I am. But yeah, so I was managing the tanning salons. I was like, I had a company car. I'm 18 years old. I think I was like 19 at this time. I had a company car. I got a company cell phone. I was making commissions from 5 different tanning salon locations. So I'm making way more than anybody normally my age would make. And then I had what I now know, I didn't know then, but I had, it's called a manic episode.
Yeah.
Which is like basically like a Britney Spears moment. I don't know if, yeah, when Britney Spears shaved her head, I had that happen to me, actually.
Really? At 19?
I think I was 20 when it happened.
Really?
Yeah, and it's pretty crazy. It's like people thought I was a whole nother person. Yeah. Like, I just quit my job that I was doing so well in, making great money and killing it. Quit my job, moved to Vegas, then I moved to California, and everybody I met thought I was on drugs. I had a full blown manic episode. Like, it's a chemical imbalance in your brain that you're just not yourself, not you at all. Like, and every person who's bipolar, it's called bipolar, but I didn't know then.
Yes.
I just thought that I was like, I don't know, stressed out or something, like, and I don't remember most of it. So yeah. So that's been like a big thing in my life, because I actually got diagnosed as bipolar while I was in the Marine Corps. Because it was in the Marine Corps, I had not a full manic episode like that, but like I did kind of have like a little manic episode, but with depression.
Yes.
And so I had to go talk to them, because I was like, I mean, I don't even think I talked to them. Someone sent me in because I was so down. And yeah, they diagnosed me. They said, you're bipolar. I mean, if you've had this happen when you were 18, usually you have about one huge manic episode yeah. of your life. And then after that, you have little mini on mm-hmm. and off episodes from there. So yeah, that's me in a nutshell. It's a crazy bitch.
and I applaud you. First and foremost, thank you so much for even sharing that. You know what I mean? I appreciate the transparency. My next question is that, do you know what triggered your first manic episode?
No, I don't. I was going through a lot of stress.
Yeah.
I mean, my grandma, who I was really close with, was dying. My brother was starting to get into drugs, and he was like stealing stuff from my parents' house. My parents were going through a really bad divorce. I was going through a divorce.
So it was like a compound of emotions.
I think it was just so much stress. And then I'm just kind of naturally it's genetic. So I already had it. And then I think that just kind of like the water was boiling.
Yes.
And then it just started boiling over in the pot. Yeah.
Holy crap. Now,
I know.
From tanning salon, now yes. we're going into the Marine Corps.
No. So, tanning salon, manic there's episode. More? No, yeah, there's more.
Oh my God.
Tanning salon, manic episode took about a year off of
right.
work. I lived with my family. They helped me get my head on straight. They didn't know what the fuck was going on. Like, no one knew about mental health back then.
Yeah.
So, like, we thought it was just from stress. Like,
yeah.
So we just tossed it up to stress, and I just lived with them for a while and got myself back together. And then I became a flight attendant. And then that was great. The best job ever.
Right.
Loved it. And then after that, I just wasn't getting paid very well. When you're a new flight attendant, you don't really make very much money. And I wasn't surviving. Like,
yeah.
I needed something a little bit more. I was like living with roommates and still barely getting by. It was just like, it's just like a fun travel job. It's not really like a sustainable job. Unless you stick with it for a long time. 100%. I don't want to like put, some flight attendants are killing it out there. So I don't want to like say that about all flight attendants. And then I became a personal trainer at a gym, got my personal training certificate. I did that for about a year. I'm old, not old, but I'm old enough that I could have been.
Maybe you
this.
Are like around the same age then.
Yeah, how old are you?
I'm 33.
Oh, you're older than me.
Well, don't say it like that.
Now.
Don't say it like that. Don't say it like that.
You're 2 years older than me. That's not the.
Oh, God, thank you. I thought
so. We were in at the same time.
Yeah.
Where were you stationed when I was in?
My first duty station was California. So when did you join?
Oh, you're lucky. 2017.
Okay, so I was in California. That was my second time in California by that time. Yeah,
oh, hell
so,
yeah.
Yes, but you would have been in POCUS.
I was in Lejeune. And then Lawton, Oklahoma was where my school was.
Oh my God, that's
yeah,
terrible.
I got the shit in under the stick.
Yeah, oh my God.
And now, because I'm a female, they didn't let me go to California because there was no females there yet.
What? So your first duty station legitimately was Lejeune?
Yeah, because there was no females in
so
California.
Sorry for that. I am so
oh,
sorry
yeah.
for that.
Oh, yeah. It's place, okay, though.
I mean, it's
it
all
builds
right.
character.
Yeah, that I will say, it definitely builds character. I'm happy that my first duty station was California. It got a chance for me to live a little bit, you know what I mean?
Yes.
And experience life before I went over to Lejeune. But God, ugh, God,
Lejeune
when I
is terrible.
Driving into North Carolina and smelling those pig farms just really turned me off to everything that I was expecting.
And the whole town is just like, it's
that
such a
big.
Military town.
Yes,
yeah.
100%. Western
strip
Boulevard.
Club, barbershop, yeah. Strip club, barbershop, strip club, barbershop, strip club, barbershop. Oh my Jesus Christ, how many barbershops and strip clubs do we need?
Dude, there's literally
but
like
I did hit up every strip club there. So
you know what's so
I
funny? I've never been.
What?
I went to a strip club when I was in California, and California strip clubs versus East Coast strip clubs are like a night and day difference. Now,
better
I will say,
or, oh, you don't know.
Well, as
have you
far,
heard that they're better?
A lot better. As far as like California, well, California strip clubs were full nude. Some East Coast strip clubs aren't. They aren't like
okay.
that. Now, down south, it's a whole different ballpark down there. It's a whole different ballpark. I've seen like Magic City or something like that. Way too much for me. All right. Way too much for me. All right. I realize you walk in and you feel like you're in a club and it's just like, oh my God, like, what are we doing? Like this, it feels like this is like P Valley. Like, oh my God. But I got a chance to like see a little bit, but to be honest, the one like Toby's, you know, Toby's.
I know
I know it's a historical monument, but I think I've never been. I've never been
there. Oh, it's a shithole. Really? Mean, but it's fun. I mean, I fell in love with a girl stripper there. She had a when I was in the Marine Corps, I dipped Copenhagen. And I was disgusting. And this girl, she was like a hot Australian woman, and she had a Copenhagen tattoo on her leg. And I was like, yes, that girl, you know, like you don't ever see girls. Well, at least I didn't really see girls while I was in. So, and I like girls a lot. So I was like, yes, this is it. I felt like I was just one of the guys. Like we all went there. It was like, yes, this is the only time we get to see girls. This is so great.
Oh my God.
So we had a good time. Yeah.
Now, speaking of being like one of the guys, I remember when you shaved your hair. Your MOS, what was your MOS when you were in?
Yeah, so I was an 0811 artillery cannoneer. It's like a big howitzer cannon thing. Yeah. Yes.
What made you go into that?
Well, I wanted to go into tanks. That's what I thought I was signing up for. Because I was like, I saw a tank. I'm like, I heard there was no females that had ever done tank. I'm like, I could do that. I mean, hell yeah. But then they put me in artillery. I didn't know what artillery was.
Right.
I had to Google search it right when I got out of boot camp. They were like, yeah, you're artillery. I was like, okay. And then I got out and I'm on my little 10-day leave and I'm Googling it. And I'm like, holy shit. Like, that's crazy. Because those rounds are way bigger than the tank rounds. So I was like, fuck, dude. And I only weighed 115 when I was out of boot camp. And I'm looking it up and it says the rounds weigh 100. I'm like, how is this going to work out? Why the fuck did they put me here? But I did it. I mean, it fucked my body up, but hey, made it happen.
Better than me, because like I remember seeing that and I was just like, I really want to just go crash fire rescue. I want to put the wet stuff on the red stuff.
Yes.
That's it.
So wait, what is your actual MOS?
My actual MOS, so apparently in that big field of people that can go crash fire rescue, there's also HE mechanics. And when I was sending that MEPS, one of the recruiters comes up to me and he says, do you want to be a mechanic? And I said, do I get to work on fire trucks? And he said, I don't know. And I was like, whatever. But I was just trying to get out of Detroit. Like I was literally just trying to get out of Detroit. So here I am, a 1341 fixing on HE gear that I have no idea what the fuck is, and I'm just
just throw people into things that they don't know.
Just toss me into
there's
this.
No organization at all.
I have never said I hated my job more than anybody in the Marine Corps, and like Marines would come up to me and I'm gonna be like, and I would tell them like this, look dude, I'm just gonna keep it a buck with you, bro. I don't know what the fuck we're doing, dude. Like I get it, I understand, I'm doing the best I can. But this isn't my forte. I don't know what the hell we're doing. I'm trying the best I can. So I will always lean on like the mechanics that had mechanical experience prior to. I would just be honest. And I think that was one of the biggest things is that I wouldn't pretend like I knew. You know those motherfuckers that would sit back
Everybody
and be like,
in the military pretends like they know.
No.
I'm like, there's no way that humans, it's been proven that humans have to do something like, I think it's like 5,000 times or some shit like that 100%. Before they really learn it. And then 100%. All y'all just acting like you already know it already? I was like, no, no.
You know what I mean?
Right
like this
y'all.
Fake confidence of, well, you know, why don't you look in the TM? And I'm like, bro, like, I don't even know what the fuck I'm looking for. You know what I mean? And I would always make it like such a big, like, look, dude, like, I'm going to ask the guy that did this before he came in. You know what I mean? Yes. And I would lean on those people and I would tell them. And I'd be like, dude, like, I don't fucking know. You know what I mean? And I would be like, but I will try my best to figure it out. But I'm going to go out there and get electrocuted. I'm going to just be honest with you guys. So I got better at being like a people person and being able to manage everybody. I got really good at that.
That's cool. That's cool that you were able to notice what your strengths and weaknesses are and not let other people try to push you into a box.
100%.
Because I felt like, unfortunately, I wasn't as good at that. And so I kind of did just kind of let whatever people told me to do, I would do the best I could. But I mean, hey, like, yeah, I was really good at passing tests. And but my long-term and short-term memory isn't the best. So yeah. I would struggle with like, okay, I just learned all this and I just passed it on a test. But like now I have to actually do it. And I really don't know what the fuck I'm doing.
Yeah.
And I would try to be honest. But like, if you say you don't know what you're doing as an 0811, they're like, oh, are you fucking kidding me? You motherfucker, you're such a fucking piece of shit. I'm like, so I would just try to like do the best I could and like act like I knew what I was doing. And sometimes I'd get it right. And sometimes I'd get yelled at. And I was like, okay, that's all I can do. I did the best I could.
Dude, like I tell you, man, like it's one of those moments where it's like either you fake it till you make it type of deal. But it's almost like I feel so ingenuine. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like to sit here and try to pretend like I know what's going on. And my biggest fear is that I'll get called out for some shit like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I would always either A, try to figure it out, or B, I would just be 100% honest. And I'd be like, look, I don't know. I don't fucking know. We got to figure this out. And yeah. I feel like that makes you, to be honest, like unhappy with yourself, dude. Like when you're not doing the right thing, so to speak. You know what I mean? Or you feel like you're constantly having to fake it. You know, so that was always one of my biggest things.
Well, you're probably a really good leader because of that now. Now you probably just really know, like, okay, if this person's not getting it, I'm going to really help them actually get it, not just make them feel like a piece of shit for admitting that 100%. He doesn't know. So that's cool. I like that. That's at least, I hope you're like that as a leader, you know?
No, I swear to God I am. I swear to God I am. Oh my God. Next you know, I get a caller that says, he's not like that. He's a piece of shit. Like, no, I swear to God I'm like that.
He yells at me every day that I don't know something.
God, I hate that guy. But with that being said, you know, so first female artillery, yes?
Yes.
You know?
Well, to pass section chief's course. There was three of us that got entered in at the same time. So there's three. We were the first three female artillery. Oh. And then I was the first female to pass section chief's course.
Okay.
Which is like when you become a section chief.
Okay. Now, my next question, I got to stop saying that out loud. But one thing, dealing with bipolar while in the military, what was that like?
Well, I didn't know I was bipolar.
Okay.
So... I've always known that I'm emotional as fuck.
Yeah.
Like I will be like, people will be like, holy shit. Like this girl, I've never heard more people tell a person like, just relax. Cause I'm like, always like, let's fucking go. Like, holy shit. So, cause that's like being manic when I'm like, hell yeah. Like so driven. I would wake up at like 4 a.m. to study all my artillery knowledge before anybody else was awake, go do PT, go eat at chow while I'm studying again. And then fucking, I was like carrying like 10 rounds, as much as many rounds as I could back and forth whenever we're out in the field. Like I was just like a go getter. But then on the downside of that, you would burn out. And I'm like, cause you're so manic. Like it's not normal for someone to be that like go all the time. And then I get severely depressed. And I had one of the most severely depressed up because usually I'm more on the manic, the hyper side. But when I was in the Marine Corps, cause the culture was so crazy and like, I just didn't feel myself. I kind of like, I felt like I really had to change who I was to fit in. I felt like I had to like make myself uglier so I wasn't called a slut. That's why I like was cut all my hair off and like just kind of like acted like a bro so people weren't calling me a slut all the time. Cause I like I admitted in the other podcast, like I am super sexual person. And so I was always afraid like, oh my God, I hope nobody finds out I fucked this guy because everybody's going to call me a slut. Oh shit. And it was just so much all the time. You're always thinking like, what the fuck? Who am I? What am I doing here? I'm normally a really nice person. Yeah. I love humans. The Marine Corps, like it's normal to like put each other down. Like you're a fucking piece of shit. Like that's hilarious to us.
Yeah.
And it just wasn't me. Like I'm just really not like that naturally. I kind of am now because it's like, you know, when you're in for 4 years, it becomes kind of a part of you to like roast each other and talk shit to each other and stuff. But like all the time, 24/7, you're a fucking piece of shit. I'll fuck you. Like, and getting drunk all the time. And it's just, it started to wear on me, dude. And so I had a pretty down night. And thankfully, I had a friend walk in on me because I was really thinking about committing suicide. And I was just depressed as fuck. I just didn't know who I was anymore. I felt like I lost myself. I joined the Marine Corps because I wanted a purpose.
Yeah.
And I'm just fucking sweeping shit. You know yeah, how it is. Like, no. You're told that you're going to go to war and you're going to defend your country. That didn't happen. I'm just fucking sweeping up shit that they tell us to sweep, telling other people. And then when you become a corporal, then you just tell other people to sweep up, pick up cigarettes. It's just, I felt lost. I was like, what the fuck am I actually doing? So yeah, I got really depressed. Someone found me and I ended up getting checked in, and then they did a whole medical evaluation, mental health evaluation, which for people who know, I went through all that and they were not going to kick me out at all. So like, people who are scared to speak up about their mental health,
no,
like
100%.
They full blown diagnosed me as bipolar, which is a pretty severe mental health. That's not like, it's
that's
pretty
severe.
That's
one of the
like, you, a girl says she's bipolar, you usually don't date that girl, you know?
So. Hey, that's usually in the DSM. Like, it's highlighted, you know?
Yeah. So, and they still didn't kick me out. They, like, if I wanted to have stayed in, I could have. They never said, like, I couldn't re-enlist. They actually, like, wanted me to re-enlist and stuff. Because that was, like, one time. I feel like, overall, I kept my emotions under control for the most part. I really did not ever want people to see me cry.
Yeah.
But, so, because I was, like, I didn't want to be seen as weak and all that. And especially being, like, one of the only females, I didn't want to be, like, a crybaby. So, I would have big panic attacks, but I would just go in my room and have panic attacks on my own that no one ever saw. So I was really suffering for a long time while I was in, just hiding it from everybody. And I wish I would have gone to them earlier. And I did go during lunch too. Like, a lot of people are like, oh yeah, like, oh, they just go to medical all the time to get out of work. Yeah. I would always go to medical on my lunch breaks. So people never even knew I was going to medical and stuff. And I would say it was for my neck because I was having neck issues too. Yeah. So I would just say it's for my neck and go to medical. Boom. No big deal. And then, like I said, they were never going to kick me out. So I just wish that I would have said something sooner while I was in. So I didn't have to suffer for as long.
No, 100%. Once again, I appreciate your transparency, you know, and I feel like we still have a long way to go, but we have made so many leaps and bounds when it comes down to mental health, especially within the military. You know what I mean? Like, motherfuckers used to sit back and say, like, don't go to the wizard because you're going to get kicked out. Or people would just pretty much try to either try to drink their mental problems away or ignore, you know, the issues that are going on with their lives, or because we were just so ignorant, just misdiagnosed it, you know? So I applaud you just for going and seeking help, because so many people don't do that. You know what I mean? Like, they don't do that. And then they try to do it when they get out, or they try to do it years later. And it's like, fuck, if I would have done that earlier, then I probably would have. So that's, man, I can't even tell you.
And I honestly think you have to be responsible for your mental health.
100%.
Like, it's almost like it's not okay to not reach out, actually. That's on you.
Yes.
Like, I didn't reach out for a long time, and that's on me. Like, I should have reached out earlier because mental health affects more than just you. It affects your friends and your family. So if you're not taking managing your own mental health, then you're that's not good. Like, you have to manage your own mental health, and 100%. It does take work. You have to find the right meds. People will try meds and doesn't work for them, makes them a zombie or whatever. I had to do that too. I had to go through like 3 different meds, and now I'm finally on meds that don't make me like a zombie. I feel this is the closest to normal I've ever been my whole life. But I'm in the longest relationship I've ever been. I'm in going on 3 years with the same guy. That's
congratulations.
Big for me. Yeah. Cause I'm not normal, but I'm more normal because I've actually seeked help for my mental health. I see a therapist. I do the hard work that it takes to be in control of your mental health. So, 100%. And that is your responsibility. I really believe that.
No, and I completely agree with you. But now, as we transition, man, like, I really want to know, speaking of transitions, just what was life like transitioning out of the military?
Pretty rough for me. I was with my ex. We met in the military, and we were best friends for the whole 4 years that we were in. We dated for about like a year of that. We were living together in the Marine Corps. Everything was good. Like, met his family. Everything was great. we move, and just things went downhill. You know, he was like 6 years younger than me, and he went back to his old high school town and got reunited with his old buddies. And like, we just started not seeing, we weren't really like living on the same path. And also I was not on meds at that time. So I was also admittedly all over the place. Yeah. I mean, with the transition of moving, I was crazy, like, and he got the brunt of it. And so I just knew it was becoming an unhealthy relationship. So I decided to leave, but we were living with his dad.
Yeah.
So we didn't have rent. I had started my nonprofit while I was in the Marine Corps. Mm-hmm. And I had just opened the coffee shop, which I sold my car and basically wiped out all my savings to invest in starting the coffee shop. So I had literally $0 in my bank account, like not even $1 in my bank account. And I wasn't paying rent, and I didn't have a car, and I didn't have family. I am pretty prideful, and so I didn't want to reach out to my family either for help, which I really wish I would have going looking back. But so yeah, I got my ass to work. Right. And that's when I was like, you know what? Like, you got the body, you paid for fake boobs a long time ago. Like, you're good at dancing, you're really sociable, you need money right now. So I started stripping, and stripping was fucking horrible, literally. I would not recommend it, but I am glad I did it because it got me out of the hole that I was in. I was able to pay my first, I made money for my first month's rent and to buy a new car within 1 month. So yeah, I applied everything from all my life to the, like, I put everything, when I do something, I do it with 110%.
Yes.
So I started taking pole dancing lessons to get good at the dance moves. I was like, every single person, I was like, hey, what's up? How's it going? I'm just a talker. Like,
you do have a great personality. I will say
that. Yeah, I love
talking. You can
tell
that you're like a talkative person. Yes.
Yes. And I love hearing people's stories, and that's what being a stripper is about. It's not about sexualness. It probably is maybe a little bit, but it's more about being a therapist. And I was good at like going and sitting next to a guy and letting him spill his whole life story and giving me $100 an hour or whatever.
Really?
Just to tell me his life story. And then you got to see my boobs, which is a plus too, you know, because you walk around with no shirt on. But really, the guys are there to talk.
Really?
Yeah. At least in my case, they wanted to talk to me. Yeah.
Wow. You know, I feel like just there's always just this one big misconception. And I think that is just has a lot to do with just the overall ignorance of just that realm of things. Because to be honest with you, I wouldn't even know that. You know what I mean? Like that a lot of guys go in there to talk. You know what I mean? Which I can definitely see. You see what I'm saying? Like them just opening up. And do they open up a lot?
Oh, my God. Yeah, they're drunk. Oh, so they're just there spilling the tea. Spilling everything about their wife that they hate, spilling everything about the stress of work, just letting it out, because, you know, men don't really have very many safe places to do that. So to the stripper, that they don't, because men don't really think much about strippers. They're just like, oh, whatever. So they're like, okay, like, I mean, I can tell this girl like that she doesn't mean nothing. So I'm just going to tell her everything.
So it was almost like a fire and forget of their emotions.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, definitely. But then also you do get a lot of drunk guys that are just disgusting as fuck. And that's why I stopped doing it. I think I only did it for like 1 or 2 months. I can't even remember. It's kind of all a blur because I was like, I hated it so much. And then I realized you could do basically stripping online and you don't have to deal with drunk guys. And it's the same thing. They're just all typing to you their life stories and talking to you. But you're just doing it like exactly like what me and you are doing right now.
Really?
You're naked. And I like being naked. So I was like, okay, I can be naked. I can listen to this guy's story and I can get paid for it. And I don't have to deal with him being disgusting and being right there in front of my face. And if I don't like him, I just press that little X button and bye, Felicia.
Interesting. Yep. I just wrote that down and I underlined that real quick just for like just food for thought later on down the line.
Oh yeah, people over sexualize the sex industry. Like I think it's because of movies, but like yes, you are naked, but like really, it's just human connection. Mm. Yeah, it's all perspective. Yeah,
I can definitely.
If you wanted to make it a completely sexual experience, you can. But I don't think I'm that type of person. I was even kind of considering becoming a sex therapist because I genuinely love sex and I think sex is so beautiful and I love talking to people about sex. So yeah, but I tried the whole school thing and I'm so like all over the place. Yeah. It's hard for me to sit for like hours and the teachers.
I don't know. Maybe so have horrible. A podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's always cool. On the table. That's always on the table.
Yeah. Yeah. I know. It's just unfortunately like my time. I'm a very big family person. Yeah. I love spending as much time with my family and like my job. I work about 2 to 4 hours a day. And then the rest of the time I have with my family. And I love that. And I don't really want to like keep adding more yoga. I'm going to add yoga, which I actually just got a email from Lifetime saying that they want to do an audition. So
an audition for what?
To become a yoga instructor.
Oh, I was like, what a movie. Oh my God. Oh, is it like the Blind Side? Jesus Christ.
No. That I do want to get into acting one day.
Really?
I think it'd be so fun. Yeah.
Now, if you don't mind me asking, just what was one of the hardest transitions from military to stripping now to online? Like, what was one of the hardest transitions?
I would say the hardest was, like, all the backlash I got from my ex about becoming an online girl, like an online creator, an OnlyFans girl or whatever that we're called.
Is the proper term like, spicy creator? Like, what's the proper term? So that way I can use the word.
Oh, I say the industry, the adult industry. I'm in the adult industry. That. Yeah. Because there is OnlyFans creators. There could be on there playing the piano. Like there are legit OnlyFans creators that are not doing porn. Mm. And then there's OnlyFans girls that are just showing their boobs. I mean, I personally don't really think that's porn. Okay. Maybe to some people it is. It's kind of like Playboy girl type thing.
Yeah.
And then there's OnlyFans that are doing porn. And I would say that's like you're in the adult industry at that point. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I would say like the backlash I got from my ex. And just like he literally like I remember him saying you're just because me and my ex were best friends for 4 years.
Yeah.
So like. Even though we broke up, like it was still really, I still care about him as a human and I still don't want him to think I'm disgusting. Like this motherfucker watches MILF porn every fucking night of his life. We used to watch MILF porn together. And so I'm disgusting because I'm making MILF porn, but you can watch it. I'm like, you don't think that those girls are disgusting? I'm like, it just confused me. And he's just so simple-minded. He's from a real small town. There, it's like real Christian conservative.
Oh, dear.
You know, and just people don't get it. And I get it. Like, it's not for everybody. And like I said on the last podcast, I'm glad it's not for everybody because it's what makes it so taboo. And then that's what makes it, like, do well for us. Because 100%. We get sales because people are like, oh, this is bad. I shouldn't be watching this. I talk shit about this girl online, but I'm going to go watch her right now, you know? So it's like, I'm glad that it's such a taboo thing. But it does kind of make me sad at the same time because I'm so much more than my job.
Yeah.
And I think that the job it's definitely not for everybody. But like Angela White, she's a famous porn star. That woman was made for that. She was made for it. She is so good at it. She loves sex. She's so good at talking about sex. I heard her talk about the vagina. She knows every single part of the vagina. She knows exactly how to explain how to give an orgasm. Like, if you can just see that it's her passion. Yes. And like, what is wrong with that? Like, let people do their thing that they're good at. Like, and I honestly feel like I'm one of those people too. Like, I'm a naturally sexually driven person and I love talking about sex. I love it. I love being open about sex and that's my thing. I'm not forcing it on anybody.
Yeah.
It's for 18 years and older. I'm very big about that. Like my family is not home when I'm working. They do not know anything about it. It's legal. It makes me good money in a short period of time so I can spend time with my family. I just don't see what everybody so fusses up about it.
It has a lot to do with like, I guess like the taboo aspect that you had mentioned earlier, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's just like one of those, because I think me talking to you gave me, I've always been an open-minded person. I've always been, and I pride myself on the fact that I'm very open-minded. But I think talking to you gave me a different perspective coming into the scenario in general. And just looking at just the overall as like society starting to evolve, you know what I mean? Like where it's not necessarily such a bad thing in the sense of like, oh my God, well, you shouldn't be doing this and you shouldn't be doing this. No, like you should be doing the thing that is going to make you money and the thing that is going to make, that's going to bring you happiness. And I think those two driving factors should be what you're doing in life. Do people want their kids to grow up and be doctors and lawyers and X, Y, and Z? But some of those dreams just isn't for everybody else, or those realities aren't for everybody else, especially given what is going on within their lives. So as long as you're able to be with your family and to be happy, I think that's one of the biggest things right there. Because a lot of times, like people come into these scenarios, get out of the military, fall flat on their fucking face. And it's like, damn, you know, that's fucked up for them. And I think initially, especially for me, and I will say this, especially for me, when I saw like a lot of people within the military, because one thing that I have noticed is that a lot of military veterans are now moving towards OnlyFans. And I'm just like, damn, like what is the connection with OnlyFans and the military service where it's like transitioning straight out of the military into OnlyFans? Like,
because there's a market for it. That's why. I mean, it's just like guys like girls with big boobs, guys like girls that were in the military. Mm. So there's a you already have a base of customers that are going to buy from you. Mm. Like all my following is men. And so men are my customers. You know what I mean? So that's the reason. I mean, it's pretty simple. And I do think I think it's military people are more, from what I noticed, military people are pretty sexual.
Yeah.
Like all of them are like a bunch of horned up crazy devil dogs is what they call them, you know, because it's just they're all sex crazed guys. So it's kind of like makes sense.
I think
that it would be.
Well, no, and I don't mean to cut you off. I think like just like what you said, like it's actually like very simple, like because you see a lot of and usually the ones that do it had a big following prior to, you know what I mean? Like, and it's just like, honestly, I mean, it is a no-brainer. You know what I mean? It may not be for everybody, but at the exact same time, it's just like, it is. You know what I mean? Like, to be able to transition over, especially when you take in the factors into consideration. I think it's definitely, it catches a lot of people off guard when you see them and it's just like, oh, shit. Like, I used to be in formation with this person. You know what I mean? You know, so it's I think that's the wildest part right there is like, and my next question is, has anybody from like a past unit or anything like that? And you don't have to answer this if you don't want to, but is there anybody like in the middle, like that you serve with, reached out to you? Is like, oh my God, like I subscribe.
People are still subscribed. I think I've had some, like a couple long-term subscribers of people I've served with. So, and they probably talk shit about me behind my back on little group forums and stuff, but I don't give a shit because I'm getting paid from them. And I think they're just talking shit to like make themselves feel better. And like I said, like, I don't really care about all the drama part of it. Like, as long as I'm as long as they're respectful to me directly, then I'm good. Like, and thankfully I don't have very many people that are mean to me. Like, I don't get mean comments on my page and stuff like that. Yeah, no, I really don't. I'm sure behind my back people say stuff, but that's like, I really don't really care. If you're disrespectful to me in person, I'll just delete you and block you and you have nothing to do with my life. But if you talk shit about me behind my back and I don't know, like I'm so oblivious, I really don't give a shit.
You know, I remember you saying that and that caught me so far off guard that I get some bullshit and I'm like, bro, like what the fuck am I doing wrong? And when you were like, nah, like, I actually don't get that. You know what I mean? Like, my community is actually pretty cool. I'm like, God, I'm so jealous.
But the way you market, which is smart, is to push, it's like to get that shock factor.
Yes. So
you're going to get people like that. I don't really market myself like that. I mean, I just do sexy stuff on my one page. And then on my other page, I just use it. Like, I have a personal page that I just post whatever I feel like. Like I said earlier, I use it as like a journaling thing. But like on my sexy page, I just post a sexy thing, takes 2 seconds, boom, post that on there. And then people just write, oh my God, Bobs, Bobs, Bobs. Because apparently they don't know how to spell boobs. But yeah.
But with that being said, as we come to a close of this episode, one last question that I do have for you is just, can you tell me about your nonprofit?
Yes. So I started a nonprofit in 2019 as it's a coffee shop, or was a coffee shop. There was a lot of drama that happened around everything most really recently. But it actually worked out for the best. But long story short, we were a coffee shop that was similar to like a Starbucks. You drive through, get your coffee. We had blended drinks, all the things. And then you could drop off your clothing while you're getting your coffee. And then we would take your clothing and then we would bring it to the homeless directly. The coffee shop, unfortunately, had some employees that were kind of like scamming. It was really sad, actually, dude. Because they made a GoFundMe using the project's logo and name to raise money for themselves. So I had to it was horrible. I had to shut the whole thing down. The actual coffee shop was an hour away from where I lived and they were running it for me and they just took advantage. Yeah. So yeah, it was really sad, but we still do the outreach. So we go out every 2 weeks for clothing donations. Now we just have people bring the clothing donations to the outreach, like where we actually go. And so they actually will hand the clothes to them directly. And then we got a bunch of yoga mats donated since I just got my yoga certification. So someone donated like 15 yoga mats. So we're going to actually teach the homeless yoga. We're doing that actually this Sunday.
I hear that.
So they're super excited. I told them about it last time. I'm like, hey, we're going to come in and teach you guys yoga. Do you guys want to do it? And they're like, yeah, totally. So we're going to bring them bananas, apples, water, healthy little snack, teach them some yoga, spend some time with them. And that will be the new restructure now that we shut down the coffee side of things. It's going to be focused on a more healthy route, giving them healthy snacks, teaching them yoga, teaching them breath work, meditation, stuff like that. So,
ooh, I love that.
Should be good.
I love that. Definitely. But, oh, man, that's so cool. You said it's in Texas, yeah?
Yeah, Houston, Texas. If anybody wants to come volunteer.
Houston,
me and
Texas.
me and another OnlyFans girl do it every 2 weeks. So
Houston, Texas. If I'm ever there, I would definitely look up for the yoga situation.
Awesome. Yes, that'd be great. And we always need volunteers and we always need clothing donations. And we also have an Amazon wish list where you can donate like toothbrushes, deodorant, hairbrushes, all that stuff. And we bring directly to them.
Absolutely. I love that. But with that being said, as we come to a close to this episode, is there any last final send-offs before we close out?
Yes. The only thing I do want to say, I kind of feel like I might have glamorized sex work a little bit just because it's been overall a pretty smooth experience for me. And I think I was kind of like wired for it. It is not so glamorized and smooth for everybody. It does take a big mental toll on a lot of women and men. It's also really hard to make it in the adult industry. It's not as easy as just showing your boobs and you make money. There's a lot of entrepreneurship that you have to put into it as far as marketing, filming, promoting, customer service, following up, setting prices.
Oh, so it's almost like content creating, like for real.
Exactly. Yeah. So I just want people to know, and that it will always be on the internet. Thankfully, my parents are very supportive, but I know there's girls, they did it and then their parents found out and like it was the end of the world for them, or like their kids found out and like that was the end of the world for them. Like it can be really, really hard on a lot of people. I've heard a lot of really bad stories. I'm in the mindset that, you know, it's like, anybody, like my ex found out about it, I had to deal with that. And that was hard. Thankfully, I don't let things get to me too badly, but I did go through a little bit of a depression after that. And then when you're depressed, you can't really work because being a sex worker has a lot to do with your mood. Like if you're not in the mood, it's really hard to make money. So if you're depressed, like, I'm sorry, but you're not going to really feel like doing what you need to do to make money. So there are a lot of lows about being a sex worker, and I don't want to glamorize it at all. I also don't think like super young women should get into it. I think that it's for adults. So I really don't really think that you just get out of high school and get right into it. Like, go experience other life. Like, it's called the adult industry for a reason, because it's for adults. And really, like, if you're a young person in it, and that's going to be the types of guys that you're getting, are guys that want like younger girls, and right there already is a lot of red flags. So I mean, I'm 31, I'm a woman, and I get men that want women, a grown women. So yeah, I don't want young women to think it's just something that you should just jump into. It definitely put a lot of thought into it, and definitely have other experiences first before you go into it, I would say.
Oh, I love that. And I really appreciate just the time and energy that you gave today.
Thank you.
And just like that, another extraordinary thought left this ordinary mind. I hope you enjoyed this episode half as much as I enjoyed making it. Don't forget to head on over to your favorite streaming platform, whether that's Apple Podcasts or Spotify Podcasts, and leave this podcast an honest review, because this podcast deserves to grow just as much as we do. Also, don't forget to head on over to TikTok or Instagram and follow me at Meech Speaks. That's right, Meech Speaks. Meech is spelled M-E-E-C-H. Stay motivated. Stay healthy. I'm out.